This is an interview with Arthur Morantz for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project, Heritage Manor. This interview is being conducted at Heritage Manor on February 11, 1984, at approximately 1:10 p.m. Okay, let's start with some basic background. When and where were you born?
I was born in Youngstown.
What year?
1960.
1916? Was that about the middle of World War One then?
About the middle of World War One.
Uh-huh. Where did you go to school?
I went to school at Jackson School for in Buckeye School and Woodrow Wilson and South High School.
Okay. What about religious training? Were you educated in the synagogue?
Yeah, I was I went to Hebrew school.
Mm-hmm. Where was that held?
At the Enchiamet Temple.
Is that temple still in existence today?
No, they merged with the Temple Emmanuel. Now it's called El Emmet.
El Emmet, okay. What was a typical day like, say, when you were around 10 years old?
Went out and played. We went to school and then we went out and played after school.
Mm-hmm. Did you do religious training every day, or was that?
No, twice a week.
Okay. What days would that have been?
On Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Uh-huh. What did that involve?
You went to a classroom and you had a teacher, and they taught you Hebrew.
Uh-huh.
And you went to Sunday school on Sunday.
Okay. And was that?
And then when I was 13, I was bar mitzvah.
The stock market crashed in the 20s, and then a depression followed. What was that like for you?
Well, we were lucky. We had an income in the family, so we didn't suffer too much from it.
Mm-hmm. Was that your father?
It was my father and my aunts. And
What did they do?
My father was a salesman. And my aunts worked in a jewelry outlet in Detroit.
And those weren't affected very much by the market?
Well, they happened to have some money saved, so
we
got through everything all right.
Mm-hmm. What were the conditions like then as opposed to the way they are now?
Everything was cheap and hardly anyone was working, and there were soup lines and bread lines and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to high school, some of the teachers bought souls for some of the kids so they wouldn't walk on newspaper. In my last couple of years of high school, we only had high school half a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to walk downtown and worked at my uncle's grocery store, at Klein's department store.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Hi. Does she want to visit you?
No.
Oh, okay. Forgive me for smiling, but when you started telling that story about everything's cheap and they had soup lines and bread lines, it sounds like today, except now everything's expensive. Hardly anybody is working, or they weren't a couple of years ago.
Well, I had a heart attack in 1957 and the hospital room cost $8.
$8?
In 1957.
That's pretty cheap.
And I just was sick now for 3 months in the hospital. It cost $43,000.
Oh my God. It's staggering. I was talking to somebody a couple of months ago about the religious institutions in the area, and it seems that there was a conflict between some of them. I think it was between the Russian Jews
The Temple Emmanuel was started by the Russian Jews, and the Children of Israel was started by the Hungarian Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And then they broke away, the Hungarian Jews broke away and started the Enchiamet.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rosh Hashanah was the German Jews, and now 90% of the congregation probably are the children of the old Orthodox Jews.
Mm-hmm. Is there a specific reason that the Jewish communities from all these different countries each had their own synagogue?
There was no specific reason.
It was just
that they were all together.
All spoke the same language and all of that. Okay.
And I'd say World War II kind of broke up all religions. In other words, the Catholics got out into the world and from their little settlements in New York, some of them never went to another church. And as late as 10 years ago, if a Catholic wanted to go to a Jewish affair, they had to ask the priest.
Oh, really?
From the old timers, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Why did World War II have such an effect on that?
Because the people got out into the world. You got mixed with other people.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let's see. Did you experience, either as a child or as an adult, did you ever experience any blatant anti-Semitism?
I myself never experienced that.
Mm-hmm. Were you aware of anything that was going on?
I was aware of it. I've seen incidents.
I've heard people talk about certain businesses that wouldn't hire Jews and certain organizations.
There still is.
There still are.
I
thought that was against the law now to discriminate.
It's against the law, but they. They seem to get away with it. They hire token, like the whole hire token Negro or token Jew or token Catholic or depends
and then
what.
That's all.
That's all. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. You said you've seen incidents. Do you mean incidents on the street?
No.
Kind of thing.
In the army, I've seen incidents of. Ostracization, you know, because this guy was Jewish.
Just the rest of the company would alienate them.
Alienate them.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone took me for Greek or Italian, so I didn't have any trouble.
Well, was that because you looked Greek or Italian, or
I don't
because
know.
Of your name, or?
Well, they didn't recognize it by my name.
Mm-hmm. Okay. what was World War II like in Youngstown? What effects did World War II have on the area?
I really don't know. I went right away.
Oh, you were in the Army at the time. Okay. Where did you serve?
In the Middle East.
Okay, what was going on there?
That's where they took the supplies up to Russia. I was in there in Tehran most of the time.
Uh-huh. So it was a link in the line of supply. Okay. Well, that brings up another line of questioning then. During World War II, Palestine was still under British rule.
I was in Palestine in World War II.
From what I have been able to gather, the British...
The British were murdered there.
They were what?
The British were very, very poor toward the Jews.
That's what I thought. They didn't want to open Palestine for Jewish emigration.
Jewish emigration.
Uh-huh. What kinds of things did they do to deter the immigration?
Well, they used to, and people coming in, they used to try to, they put in prison, in concentration camps and so forth there.
So these people that were leaving Europe to get away from that sort of oppression.
Right. Hi, Smiley.
Hi,
how
are you?
Pretty good.
The people who were leaving Europe to get away from that sort of oppression under Hitler,
the British had a white paper, and they only allowed so many people in, so many Jews in at a time, you know, during a year. And America had a, was at fault greatly by not letting them in.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've let the the Puerto Ricans in and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
They could have saved a lot of lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would have seen some of the people that came out of the concentration camps, there's a lot of them in this country that you brought over.
Mm-hmm. So they were facing pretty much the same kind of thing. Well, not the same kind of thing, but
no, they
were still facing oppression.
Yeah.
When they got to Palestine, which was supposed to be.
Well, the British had control of the Middle East, and they kept everyone as serfs, and that's why everyone rebelled against them after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And in Iran, the Russians and the British and the Americans and the Iranians had control of the country. And the Shah was the big... The Shah overthrew his father. That was all built by the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest farce was trying to take the hostages out, because I've been in the American embassy a great many times while I was in Tehran, and it was right in the middle of town. They would have had taken the whole American army to get them out. In the meantime, 8 people got killed and millions of dollars of equipment got wrecked.
Mm-hmm. Because of very poor...
The blunders.
Yeah.
The same as they've done in Lebanon. They didn't know what they were doing there.
Oh. Yeah, that's
now they
sure.
just want to give a slap on the hand to the commanders there.
Uh-huh. That seems awfully close to the Vietnam thing.
It does.
In Lebanon.
And there wasn't any problem with any of the kids that went to World War II. They knew they were fighting something.
Mm-hmm.
But in Vietnam, they didn't know what they were fighting for.
Mm-hmm. While you were in the Middle East during World War II, well, obviously you knew that you were fighting Hitler, but did you know what exactly was going on with European Jewry at the time?
Yeah, sure, we knew.
And
if you talk to Germans now that were kids at that time, they don't believe anything like that happened.
Even though they lived...
Even though they lived there, they had to see it.
Mm-hmm. So they're still denying it.
They still deny it, and they're trying to keep it out of the history books. That's why the Jews are having all these monuments, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had heard of the revisionist movement in this country concerning either total denial of the Holocaust, or trying to make it seem like it was no worse than anything else was.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't know that that had spread to Europe and Germany that much.
That it had.
Seems kind of unbelievable to me that the Germans can deny it when they've got the remains of Dachau and Treblinka still standing.
In Israel, they have a whole building with all the pictures and everything.
Uh-huh.
And the American soldiers that freed the camps, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did the American population that were still in this country during World War II, were they aware?
I don't think they were.
You don't?
I couldn't tell you, but I'd say they were aware of it, you know. But they thought that
they were?
But they thought that was part of the war, you know.
Oh, they didn't think that it was as bad as it really was, and that genocide was.
In fact, when I was in Tehran, we ran a laundry unit, and the Russians brought a lot of Polacks down through Poland. Down through Russia, and we had a couple of Jewish girls that worked in the laundry, and the Polacks used to just almost kill them, you know. They were the, I'd say the Polish were the most anti-Semitic of any of them.
Mm, that's the impression that I had, yeah.
Uh-huh.
At the end of World War II, when you came, did you come back to this country
yes.
as soon as the war was over?
I came back before the war was over to go to OCS.
What's OCS?
Officers Training School.
Okay. What was the general atmosphere among the Jewish community here?
Made Germany give some of the refugees got money for the stuff that they lost, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had just thought of a question a minute ago. Slips my mind. Well, let's go on to something else then. Did you belong to any organizations?
Yeah, I belonged to B'nai B'rith and,
okay.
and the BMD Club at that time was for, it was like a fraternity, you know.
What did you call that?
BMD.
BMD. Okay, is that a Jewish organization?
That was a Jewish. They had AZA and had BMD and Rhodes when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
When we were growing up in high school, you know. Mm-hmm. They were social organizations. And B'nai B'rith they're in existence to fight all the anti-Semitism, you know. They,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I was familiar with B'nai B'rith.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't familiar with BMD though.
They went out of existence during the war. When they were kids to belong.
Yeah, they were all off fighting. What kinds of activities were involved in that?
Well, they used to have dances and so forth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to entertain at hospitals and so forth, you know.
Oh, I see. Do volunteer work.
Do volunteer work and uh-huh. that kind of stuff.
Okay. Okay, B'nai B'rith and BMD, were there any more?
AZA. That was affiliated of B'nai B'rith. That was the youthful affiliate, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There was an organization... I can't remember the name of it exactly. I think it was something like the Jewish National Fund.
Yeah, that's still in existence.
Oh, it is still today. What is that?
That the Jewish National Fund is, well, here they have the Jewish Federation, you know. The Jewish National Fund is national, and they take care of people overseas, you know, more or less.
Who overseas? I'm not sure I follow that.
Jewish people, poor Jewish people overseas.
Okay.
Organizations, you know.
Okay. Was the Jewish National Fund...
It's always been in effect. It's always been in effect.
Uh-huh.
Then during World War II, they had the Jewish Agency, which took care of refugees, you know. When the war was over, they saw that they got transferred to where they kept them in camps, and they sent them different places, you know. Try to get them resettled, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With relatives and stuff.
Okay.
I know my mother-in-law's family lost 20 out of 21.
During the Holocaust.
During the Holocaust. They were in Romania.
That's such a common thing.
And all these people don't believe it, you know.
Well, I think that's why all of the publicity is going on now.
Well, that's why they made the picture, I think.
Yeah. the movies and the...
Well, you got probably the same thing going on in Vietnam and Lebanon and those kind of places. They're killing people by the thousands, you know.
Do you think it's the same kind of thing?
It isn't the same kind of thing. It's just a lot of religions fighting each other.
So, yeah, I can't imagine that anything could go on today.
No.
But people keep telling me that it could happen again.
It could happen again. The Germans were the most intelligent people in the world. And in 10 years, Hitler turned them around. You know, you take kids, you can do anything with them. After a while.
When they're impressionable, yeah. Well, that was a big part of his regime was the youth.
Yeah.
The Hitler Youth.
Hitler Youth Program.
Uh-huh.
And people that were boyhood friends and girlhood friends that lived next door to each other turned against. They thought it would help them with Hitler, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of that was terrorism or brainwashing.
It was brainwashing.
You think it was more that than fear of...
Then the ones that wasn't brainwashed, it became terror then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The question has been put to me a couple of times. Let's take the example you just gave of a next-door neighbor. Where would my loyalties lie if I knew that if I did something to help my neighbor, that my family would be killed?
Yeah.
So that kind of terrorism is something that a lot of people can't stand up to.
They can't answer it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But by the same token...
All right, you yourself, if you had a good friend, a Jew, would it mean anything to you? Because they were Jewish?
The simple fact that they were Jewish?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, my theory has always been, if I thought a person was loyal and was right with me, I didn't care what he was.
No.
If he was a Negro or a Puerto Rican or... Mm-hmm. Or Italian or whatever he was. And the old timers still hold like if a Jewish kid from the old Orthodox marries out of his faith, they consider him dead, you know.
Yeah. Don't they even say
and
that?
We had it in our family, and who ended up taking care of the mother when she was bedridden was the Gentile woman, the Gentile girl. The other one didn't want nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows you that it's ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, to draw a line like that on the basis of religion or race or...
There's no one
whatever.
Come back yet to say which is right.
That's true. It's a moot point. How has Youngstown changed over the years?
I haven't been around enough, so I couldn't. I'd say it's changed dramatically.
In what way?
Well, I mean, maybe it's the times, you know. That you go downtown and you don't see a store open.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when we walked downtown, you had to walk on the street half the time. It was so crowded.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see anyone on a bus. And we used to go to Adora Park all the time dancing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's no... Where do you kids go to for recreation? The beer park, beer garden. Right?
Well, I go to a writing workshop for recreation, so I can't really answer.
I mean, there's no place for the kids to go.
No, there really isn't. There are a couple of places around the university that the younger crowd hangs out at, which I don't agree with, because you've got a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-olds in there getting drunk, a couple of nights a week. And it's, I don't think it's healthy.
Did you watch that program, Abortion?
No, I didn't.
My son did two abortions on that program with Jessica Savage. That was her program.
Mm-hmm.
So one girl was 15 years old. She already had one kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the other woman had four kids, and she couldn't afford another one.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a half hour of the program with pro and con on abortion. I say that, to me, I'd say it's a personal thing with the woman. I remember how they used to go get aborted, and half of them died from
when it was illegal.
When it was illegal.
Back alley butchers would. It was a very dangerous thing. And now they're talking about making it illegal again.
I don't think they will.
Well.
Do you read in the paper how many single births there are? You ever read the birth records?
No.
Look at them every night. You'll see two or three single births. You know,
single parent. I thought you were talking about single as opposed to twin.
And my son said, out of the abortions that he, that clinic has done, 65% were white Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And they were only 5% color. Because they keep the kids because they get 80 dependent children.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the Catholics, though, the Catholic religion
forbids it.
Excommunicated,
yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, it's forbidden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is worse, you know? Is it? I don't know.
See, you mess around with a guy, that's what happens.
Well, I don't know whether they can make it illegal or not.
I don't think
they will, because there's too much opposition to it, and there are too many things that are wrong with that.
And the Catholic could stop. And anyone could stop. There's enough birth control things today,
mm-hmm.
which they didn't have in our day. If a kid got pregnant in school, my God, that was terrible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone got a divorce. And today it means nothing, you know.
Mm-mm. Well, it's getting to the point now where a lot of women are opting to have children without being married.
Yeah, they want them.
Yeah. Which is a reflection of how far women have come, that they can financially deal with something like that. Which I can't imagine that in 1920 or 1930 that would have been a common thing.
That was uncommon.
Mm-hmm. Were there, I keep hearing about the trolley cars in Youngstown. Were there trolley cars?
Yeah, sure.
That ran on the electric wire up above?
Sure.
All through downtown and everywhere, like buses they ran?
Used to have a little Elm Street car, and they used to have Park and Falls cars that went to Idora Park. You got it on the square.
Uh-huh. And you could go just about everywhere you wanted to?
Yeah, and you went to Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And the streetcar used to come Sheridan Road and Fires Way, Poland Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Elephant Bridge, that's the bridge, you know, where the garbage dump is.
I'm not familiar with that.
Well, they call it the Elephant Bridge at that time. That's the one that goes up Gibson Street, you know.
Okay.
Past Weatherby there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, before they built it, we used to change cars there. You had to walk across the bridge because it wasn't strong enough. And you got another streetcar on the other side. Then they came to trolley buses. They used to run, it was a bus, and it used to run on the trolley wires, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gave it the power.
Mm-hmm. What was the difference between the trolley and the trolley bus?
Well, they were more maneuverable than that. They could go over to the curb and everything else.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. So they weren't limited to the track.
No. When we were kids, I used to take my brother and sister to the show on Sunday, so we used to let them out. We used to let down the barrier on the windows and let them out, and we wouldn't pay the fare then. Then one kid, his mother gave him $20 bill during the Depression, and he rode off for 2 years for nothing because the conductor couldn't change the $20 bill. And they used to have a dollar weekly pass, and used to pass it out the window after you got into the.
Uh-huh.
And someone else rode on it then.
Yeah, I remember doing that when I was in high school. You'd have a bus pass, and you'd get on and then pass it out to your friend.
Uh-huh. So you were the same.
Oh, yeah. All kids are the same.
No different. You take the angles at the times when they're being run, see?
Oh, sure. Precocious. You have to be precocious when you're young.
Yeah. Where'd you go to school?
Cheney High School.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a good school when I was there. I have my doubts about it now. Do you think maybe the reason that downtown is so desolate now is because of the super malls?
Well, the trouble with the downtown is that they were owned by estate. All the buildings were owned by estate and people that were dead and everything, and they never put any money back in the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
They drained them. And the malls had free parking and everything instead of the town. You take a town like Pittsburgh, they revitalized that town because there was big money there. There was the Mellon money and all that. And they built underground garages and everything. And out Los Angeles, no matter what building, what store you go to, there's parking. Mm-hmm. They can't build a store unless there's parking.
Free parking.
Mm-hmm. They build it underneath, you know.
Yeah.
And they punch your ticket when you deal there, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you think it's possible to revitalize Youngstown that way? If we got the money in?
If you got the money.
Work?
But it would take a long time.
By long time, do you mean 10 years, 20 years?
It'd take 10. I'd say the only way they're going to revitalize the town is build condominiums that people can live down there, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then...
Now they got nothing but old people, and people don't have any money living down there now. Uh-huh. No place for them to shop.
Yeah. That's true. There really is nothing down there anymore.
Except the Dollar Bank and Mahoney Bank. In Strauss's, there's nothing downtown.
Yeah, everything else has closed up. Okay. Did you marry?
Yeah.
What was your wife's name?
Rose. Gross.
Rose, what's her maiden name?
Rose Gross.
Did you have children?
Yeah, I have a son and a daughter.
What are their names?
Joel and...
Oh, you were telling me about your son earlier.
Joel and Lisa.
How old are they now?
Lisa will be 34 in July.
Okay.
And Joel will be 38 on the 16th.
Of this month?
Yeah.
What do they do?
He's a OBGYN.
Mm-hmm.
And she's director of hospital development at Mount Sinai in Cleveland.
Oh, well. That's a pretty nice job.
Uh-huh.
Your son must be a pretty well-known OBGYN if he got on.
And his wife is a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Is he, what hospital does he work at?
In Chester, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It is in Swarthmore. That's just the next town. And Lisa lives in Cleveland. Cleveland Heights, in Shaker Heights.
Okay. Do you still belong to LMS?
Yes.
Is that a reform?
Oh, that's conservative.
Conservative. Okay. Was Antioch an Orthodox?
No, that was conservative.
That was conservative also. Okay. What's the difference between Orthodox, Reform,
and Conservative? Well, they shorten up the services and a few of the customs have changed.
Mm-hmm. I know that there's
conservative is not as strict as Orthodox.
Uh-huh. And then Reform is even less strict,
It's even less strict.
Uh-huh. Do the conservatives still wear the yarmulke and the
yeah, sure.
prayer shawl and everything? Uh-huh. And Reform doesn't?
Reform doesn't.
No. Yeah, okay.
Some of them do. Some of them have gone back to it.
Uh-huh. But just as a matter of
It doesn't
personal.
Matter. Like the ones that perform here, the rabbis that come here, you know, give their services, they'll wear the yarmulke and the prayer shawl. In other words, they use the conservative.
Do the rabbis in Youngstown sort of take turns coming to Heritage?
Yes, they take turns.
So you would have possibly a Reform service 1 week and then Orthodox
but
the next?
The Reform still do the conservative service.
Okay.
Whoever comes here still does the, and they have laymen doing a lot of the services.
What do you mean by laymen?
Oh, people that know how to conduct the service. In other words, in the Jewish religion, you don't have to have a priest or a rabbi or anything to conduct the service. As long as you have 10 men, you can conduct the service.
Oh, I see. Okay. 10 men. Has to be male.
Women, they didn't consider it. They used to put the old Orthodox, you don't see the women. They pulled it. They see them separate.
They're separated. Yeah.
And you can't look at them.
What was the reason for that?
I don't know.
Okay. Is it still that way? Is it still with the Orthodox services?
I imagine in like in New York or somewhere, but around here it isn't.
No, just the very strict keep to tradition kinds of things. Women are now getting religious education, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How long has that been going on?
Well, that's been going on a long time. In my day, my sisters got their religious education, the same as we did.
I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it is now, but somebody emigrated from Eastern Europe, I believe it was. And the women were not permitted to have the religious training because everything was
the man.
Concentrated on the male. Yeah. Which I didn't understand.
In the old days, because they had so many kids, they used to, the men never worked. They used to read the Torah and everything, and then they come home and have a kid, you know.
I think you're exaggerating.
I'm not exaggerating.
Okay.
You used to have 8, 9, 10 kids?
My goodness. Why?
Huh?
Why?
Well, the religion says.
Did they plan on having that many children?
Didn't plan on it, it just happened.
But you were about to say it was a religious kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a religious kind of.
Like the Catholics.
The Catholics, they'll have 10 or 12 kids, you know.
Yeah.
And they can't keep one.
They can't keep one.
I mean, they don't have enough money to support one.
Oh, but they go ahead and have all those kids anyway. Yeah. Well, I can see farmers would need large families in order to run the farm and that kind of thing.
Well, so, see, the old time Jews were mostly grocers, you know, small grocers in town, and they educated the kids as doctors and lawyers, And they didn't want him. They didn't want him to be a grocer, you know. And with the Jewish people, education is the biggest thing. You see, mostly doctors and lawyers are Jewish, you know.
Mm-hmm. Is that simply because the grocery business was a tough business?
No, I mean, any business that they were in, uh-huh. They didn't want their children to be in the business. They didn't want them to work as hard as they did.
To be in a profession.
In the profession.
Yeah. They don't think doctors have to work as hard.
They probably work harder, you know.
Yeah, but at least they get some compensation for their work.
You know how much it costs to have a baby now?
The last I heard a few years ago, it was something like $10,000.
No, I mean,
To go to the doctor and deliver the kid, and that was $10,000. Is that?
Like my son gets $800 at delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get $1,400 for hysterectomy. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had his first Medicare patient. 80-year-old woman had a hysterectomy, and he accepted the Medicare. He said he felt, and she got along better than any of the young ones. He's in with two other doctors. So.
He only charges $800?
Well, they get $800 delivery. The other stuff is the
hospital. The hospital room and the anesthesia.
I have both my legs off. I was in the north side for 3 months with this other one. It was $43,000 without the doctor.
That's...
And when I had a heart
attack... to believe in socialized medicine.
And when I had a heart attack in 57, a private room was $8,
mm-hmm.
north side.
Oh, that was a private room to boot. Oh, my God.
So that's how much it's gone up since...
Yeah. It's skyrocketing badly. Northside Hospital was here when you were a kid, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. St. Elizabeth wasn't around, was it?
Yeah, St. Elizabeth was a house.
It was a house?
Yeah, they built it from a house.
Just started out with
a clinic? The first part was built, I think, if I can remember right. Southside was... like cottages, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did that mean that when the doctors did their rounds, they had to go in and out from cottage to cottage?
No, it was all connected with hallways.
Oh,
you know.
I see.
The doctors like you in the hospital. We got a lot of patients. They come in and say hello, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and they charge you $50 for saying hello.
$20 for saying hello.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Who's your doctor?
I'm looking for one. I haven't been to my
doctor. Dr. Butcher is real good.
Dr. Butcher?
He's out in Austin Town.
I kind of hesitate at going to a doctor with the name of Butcher. I'm not sure
about
that.
He's an internist.
Uh-huh. Is he a... family doctor?
Yeah, uh-huh. He was in with my doctor. They were Roger and Bunn, and he was there, and they split up the office.
Uh-huh.
And his wife is a doctor, too. She's a pathologist at Trumbull.
What kinds of businesses were in Youngstown when you were a kid?
Steel business,
mm-hmm.
and the aluminum business.
The aluminum business was here too.
Well, the union got steel so high it chased aluminum out of here.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And Weatherby is closed up now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a lot of business. I worked for the Martin Company for 43 years. They sold out to Giant Eagle.
Oh, the grocery store chain.
Yeah, and most of the wholesalers have sold out that's around in this vicinity.
Mm-hmm. Were there a lot of small businesses here?
There were a lot of small businesses at that time.
Uh-huh. That have since been taken over by the national companies. Yeah. Do you think that's good or bad?
That's bad.
Why?
Because they control everything.
Uh-huh. But why is that necessarily bad?
Well, I mean, it stifles competition.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can't get another cereal company to start up because Kellogg and General Foods and General Mills don't control all.
The huge monopolies. Yeah, you can't really compete with that.
Now the only grocery stores that do any business around here is Value King and the Sparkle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's United Family Foods, which is smaller.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, they don't seem to do much of a business.
Well, I used to take care of them, and they bought from Tamar. There's no groceries in Tamarkin's building anymore. It's all shipped out of Pittsburgh now.
Mm-hmm.
It's all that's there is vegetables and frozen food and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They have the far more drug stores.
Okay. Let me turn this tape over. Tamarkin, I haven't heard that name. They're
out in Austintown.
Okay, there's a store out in Austintown?
No, that's a warehouse.
A warehouse.
It's on Victoria Road.
Oh, okay.
Right next to Strauss's.
Okay. And they used to supply groceries?
Yeah. That's a 400,000 foot square warehouse.
Mm-hmm. What do they do now? Do they?
They take the orders, and the orders are shipped in here from Pittsburgh.
I see. So
and then they redeliver it with the frozen food and the produce.
Uh-huh. So they're more or less a link between the source and the final destination. Yeah.
And the same things happen in Pittsburgh. Kroger's selling their stores out. 41 stores is up for sale.
Kroger's is going right down the tubes. Kroger used to be in this area.
Well, Kroger is close to number one today. They build these big mammoth stores, you know.
Okay. Well, I remember when Kroger had stores here.
Yeah. Well, the union started monkeying around with them, so they just pulled the whole thing out.
Oh, I see. It wasn't because they were in financial trouble.
No.
I see.
They closed up a whole, like A&P pulled out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought A&P was in trouble. I thought that was why they pulled out.
No, they don't want those kind of stores anymore.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Value King just built a new 44,000 square foot store in Allen.
Value King is getting gigantic.
Uh-huh.
They really are. Somebody's making an awful lot of money there.
You'd be surprised how little money is made in big stores. Costs a lot of money to run it.
Well, sure, there's a lot of overhead, but they wouldn't be expanding as much as they are.
You have to keep expanding.
In order to keep making
keep pace.
Any kind of money.
Okay. Hello, Dorothy.
I'm in the frame business. I make all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I take a lot of physical therapy. And mm-hmm. I had to buy a two sizes bigger shirt.
Two sizes bigger? Why?
My chest got so big in my neck.
From working out?
From working out.
Mm-hmm.
I do push-ups and lift weights and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good side effect.
So what's going to be your career?
I want to teach college.
You want to teach college?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a graduate student in the history program now. So in another year or so, I'll be moving into a PhD.
You know, Sherman Snyderman? Sidney
Snyderman?
Steve Snyderman?
Yeah.
And his wife is the activities director here.
Yeah,
I heard that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I had him for a couple of writing courses as an undergraduate. He's a good teacher. Uh-huh.
You know
Dr.
Friedman?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's my advisor in
the
history
department. Yeah, my son went to Michigan and University of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter went to Iowa State.
Ohio State's so big.
It's too big.
I'm trying to stay out of Ohio State. I don't know where I'm going to go, but hopefully it won't be big and it won't be in a cold climate.
When you're ready for graduate school.
Pardon?
When you're ready for graduate
school. I'm in graduate school.
Oh, you're in graduate school now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I should be through with that next spring. Spring of 85. And then shortly after that, I'll be going into a PhD program.
You're going into a PhD, too?
Mm-hmm.
You like to go to school, huh?
Yeah. I like being on campus. That's why I'm going to teach, so I can stay there.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's,
Well, we never had a chance to go to college in our days.
Mm-hmm.
You were lucky you got along.
Yeah, especially with the things that came up during that time. In my lifetime, I was born in 59, and the most major thing that has happened since 59 was Vietnam, which they don't even call a war.
Uh-huh.
You know.
My daughter came home from school then. They closed up the high state.
During Vietnam?
Yeah, and they had the riots, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my sister was on her way to Kent when that whole problem jumped off there.
How many's in your family?
I have two brothers and a sister.
Two brothers and you're older than yours?
They're all older than
They're me. All older, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by quite a lot. I was more or less an only child by the time I came along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd your dad do?
My father was a foreman at U.S. Steel. At the Ohio one. Yeah. But he's deceased now.
Oh, he's deceased now.
Mm-hmm. And my mother is a small business owner. She has a shop in Boardman.
What kind of shop she has?
Needle arts.
Needle arts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She likes it there.
She likes it there, huh?
Yeah. she has her bachelor's degree in fine arts. I'm just now coming up in the world. My brothers and sister, well, the two middle ones, my younger brother, he's older than me, but he's the younger of the two, and my sister both have careers. And then my oldest brother and I are still in school.
Still in school?
Yeah, Craig went back to school last year. So, kind of a strange situation.
There's my kids over there. There's my daughter over there.
I'm going to go around and look at that. I want to say thank you for this interview before I turn the tape off here. It's been a very nice one.